ओमज्ञान्ति मेनन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जलाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतकदाधार शिवसादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके डिवोटीज, दे हैव एनी क्वेश्चन? Okay, what about the assignment? You know, we want to finish the assignments by the end of August and want to start editing, giving inputs. And then my target is that, you know, by the end of this year, we want to come up with a book. So obviously, whether publishing a book is possible or not, that's a different question that I have to find out. And how you want to publish it, through some private organization or through BBT, that is also another question. So these things I have to figure out. But if it is possible to do this, then, you know, we want to do this before the end of this year. Okay. Yeah.
So I will file my assignment along with the tax return through 31st.
Sorry?
Along with the tax return, इसका भी deadline 31st का ही है ना, दोनों साथ में file करने हैं।
अच्छा, tax return 31st August का है क्या?
अभी आ जाया message ना, 31st August
है। तो वो if you send before this date, your tax will be exempted.
अरे वो that's very important.
You will all get ATG receipt. So, yeah, so please try your best, you know, if you can finish. We want to start in September, and in September, many things have to be done. So, yeah, so we can do, you know, all these things. At least by the end of the year, we can have a book as published. In fact, I'm also trying for my own book of the frequently asked questions. So I have to do research for that also. So, many things will be there for me to do. Okay, so this is regarding assignment. Now, see, I have a couple of things to address if you don't have any questions for me today. First thing is that I wanted to ask you, in the last few days, I posted some important letters and purports from Prabhupada's books and his letters. So did you all get a chance to read, go through it?
Personally, Prabhuji, I have been quite not so much in touch for the last maybe 7-8 days. Mm. So I have some catching up to very major WhatsApp communication from my side.
Okay. Achha, what about other devotees? Angel Mataji? Angel Mataji, I think she must have read multiple times because she sees each and every message that I know.
No, Prabhu, dhyan se nahi read kiya hai maine kuch bhi.
So, I can understand. 25th anniversary tha, toh sab side mein reh gaya. So, you know, bahut dhoom-dham se manaya.
Janmashtami and Janmashtami, Prabhu, Janmashtami. 2 days we were busy with our program, congregation program, on Sunday, full day.
Hmm. Okay, what about weekdays? weekdays.
Weekdays, kahan chale gaye time is
over. Yeah. Remembering Smaranam about Rajiv Prabhu, and Rajiv Prabhu Smaranam about Angel Mataji. 25 years of togetherness. उसने कहा पता चले समझ में नहीं आया कैसे पास हो गए दिन। ओके या बट या सो बट आई होप दैट एटलीस्ट यू हैव बीन रीडिंग प्रभुपाद बुक्स एस दैट वी व्हाट एवर वी डिसाइडेड अर्लियर यू आर रीडिंग भागवत गीता एवरी डे दैट फ्लो इज गोइंग ऑन होपफुली। No answer? That means
on Sunday, Prabhuji, our There's 2-3 days where I had, I got up and I got ready and I was out of the house and came back at around 11:30 at night. That kind of a scenario was there, especially the 2 days, that is Saturday, Sunday, when we had my Janmashtami ka program tha, and even the family function, 2 days. So other than those days, I have been more or less in line.
So, yeah, regularity is required. No matter whatever circumstances will come, we have to be dedicated. So that is obviously required. So because Anju Mataji has not joined till now, I just wanted to go through the posts which I had sent in our group, and I wanted to address from that. And other couple of things also I wanted to address. So give me just like 1 minute. Okay. I wanted to ask one question. This is not connected to the post that I've sent. But the post that I sent, you know, it's all connected to receiving the blessings, mercy of the spiritual master, and equally on the spiritual master and the Lord simultaneously. You know, the same thing that I've said, mentioned a couple of times. And then there was one particular letter where Prabhupada writes to disciple that, the disciple is asking for some kind of service, and Prabhupada says that, no, right now you have to do this service. So, you know, we have discussed a couple of times earlier also that it's the spiritual master who decides what the disciple or the devotee should do at that particular circumstances instant. Okay. So service is actually given by the spiritual master, and that's how we know what is our connection with the Lord at that point of time, what we are supposed to do. So this is one thing. So there are certain important questions that I wanted to ask you, and just wanted to know if you would like to share your thoughts on this. So the first question is that when we say that we should follow the instructions of the spiritual master, are we following the Guru? Are we following Krishna, or are we following the Guru Tattva? Whom are we surrendering, and whom are we following? Guru Tattva, or Krishna?
Guru Tattva, na, Prabhuji.
Okay, so you mean to say that we are not...
This is actually Krishna's instruction coming through the Guru.
Yeah, so what is the answer?
Because none of us are qualified to be gurus, but what we are representing is the Guru Tattva. That's what I think I have understood.
None of us are qualified to be Guru, but we are representing the Guru Tattva. So whom are we following?
Guru Tattva is what we are trying to get in line with.
Okay, so we are not following Krishna?
Which is what Krishna, that's the path to Krishna. Because Krishna says, you cannot serve me directly. You have to serve my servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So,
okay, so you are saying Guru Tattva and Krishna should be served simultaneously. Or, I mean, it is same as saying, if you are serving Guru Tattva or following Guru Tattva, surrendering to the Guru Tattva, then you are automatically surrendering to Krishna. Right? But now, when you are saying this, why are you excluding the Guru?
So I don't intend to exclude the Guru, but it's just that because the Guru here, the person, is becomes a representative. So therefore, we are following him, but it's ultimately the essence is Guru Tattva only, na?
Okay. So ultimately it is Guru Tattva, or you can say ultimately it is Krishna. So see, the answer is that we are following all three of them simultaneously because they are all non-different to each other. So non-different does in the form of representation, but obviously difference in the form of their original tattvas, which means, you know, the Guru is basically generally a Jeev Tattva. The Guru Tattva is a representative of Krishna. It's the manifestation of Lord Balram in the form of a Guru. And the Guru Tattva is a different principle altogether. You know, it does not... So, a Guru Tattva can take... You know, the Guru Tattva can be a Vishnu Tattva, and he can also be a Jeev Tattva, and he can also be a Shiv Tattva. Because all these three categories are represented by the Guru. Okay? A Jeeva can become Guru. Shiva is also a Guru, because Vishnu Anam Yatha Shambho is also a Guru. Brahma is also a Guru, who is a Jeev Tattva. And the expansions of Krishna also, they can act as Guru. The internal expansions, the Shakti Tattvas, they are also Guru. So Guru Tattva is a complex Tattva which can take any different position and post in the material world to uplift the Jiva. Okay, that is Guru Tattva, which is a manifestation of Lord Balram's potency. And finally, Guru is, the ultimate Guru is Krishna. So these three are all interconnected to each other, and they are the same principles. Then we see them as the manifestation of the Lord's potency. Okay, but when we see things from this perspective, then they are all one. Like, you know, we say that we are all equal to Krishna, but at the same time we are also different from him. Right? We are all God, but we are also not God. So Achinta Bhedave Tattva, we are one and different ones from the Supreme Lord. So in some same way, we are the Guru is one, the Guru Tattva is also one from, you know, in comparison to Krishna, we all are one. Okay. But it does not mean that the Guru Tattva is necessary God, or the Jeev Tattva is necessary Krishna. Okay. So obviously Jeev Tattva can never be equal to Krishna. Guru Tattva can also be a Vishnu Tattva or Krishna himself, but it's not necessary that, you know, in terms of representing the Lord and his instructions, they are all aligned together. They are all one. Okay. So, because see, the thing is, now you only speak, if you speak about Guru Tattva and Krishna, then how does the Guru Tattva also manifest? Because Guru Tattva is a Tattva. You know, it's not a person. Like, it has to manifest in the form of a person, right? So that you can get instructions from the Guru. Then only you can follow that, right? So, Guru Tattva will be manifested in the form of Guru, who will give you instructions. And that means if you follow and surrender to the Guru, then you also surrender to the Guru Tattva principle, and you also surrender to Krishna. Now see, interestingly, it is very important to know that certain times you don't have association of your Guru. You might not have association of your Guru, and you might be in a different place. And in certain situations, you'll have to figure out certain things depending on your conviction, your, you know, what you have learned from Guru and all that. So at that moment, you know, you are just based, you based your convictions and your decisions in terms of Shastra and whatever you have learned from your Guru. And then you decide certain things, right? So in that aspect, the Guru Tattva is playing a role, because even though the Guru is not there, but Krishna as the original Guru, he is witnessing your activities and he is also empowering you. You know, just like Prabhupada said that you all are connected to me. If you are chanting Hare Krishna and I am chanting Hare Krishna, so we will always live together. There is no question of separation. So even after Prabhupada's physical disappearance, you can all get connected to Prabhupada if you follow his instructions. Which means that he is, the Guru is not present in a physical form, but because the Tattva is there, that Tattva will actually connect you to Prabhupada also. Okay. So, you know, Prabhupada says many times that chant sincerely, follow regulative principles, read my books thoroughly, and then Krishna will reveal the things from within to all the sincere devotees. Okay. So now what is the meaning? So the meaning is that the Guru Tattva will help you. If the Guru is personally not present, then the Tattva will help you. So Krishna in the form of Super Soul, he will also help you right from within. And then the Guru Tattva will arrange that he will send devotees, he will send people, and he will guide you on that path. So it's not necessary that your Diksha and Siksha Guru, they should be present everywhere, each and every place. If you understand this concept, then Guru Tattva will help you in that regards. So many instructions, like, you know, there are general instructions for which you don't even require to get direct instruction from the Guru. Like, you know, for chanting the holy name, you don't have to wait for that. That someone will come and tell you that you chant 16 now, then only you start chanting. No, because Prabhupada has already given that message and he has left the teachings in the books. So, instructions connected to sadhana, general sadhana, that, you know, what we should do, what one should not do, do's, don'ts, and then how much to do, how much not to do. These things are given by Prabhupada. If you refer to his books, you can get a basic general understanding. But when to apply which instruction, that is the job of a physical guru. Okay. So now, if you are trained by the guru, and then if you go somewhere where the guru is not present, but because you are chanting, you are, you know, you are sincerely following, trying to follow his instructions, so actually you become connected to the Guru Tattva. And that Guru Tattva will manifest in different forms to help you advance in spiritual life. Okay, so it is a simultaneous process, you know, Guru Tattva, Krishna, like that. So you cannot separate any of these things together. Now, see why I am asking about this, why this question, you know, because someone can say that what if the Guru is, you know, he falls down after some, or he deviates from Krishna consciousness, or he stops cultivating bhakti in the future, then what you know, how do we understand that whether we are following the Guru? Because, we start thinking that, okay, we were following his instructions, whatever he was guiding us, in whichever way, we are trying to accept and follow that, but the Guru himself has left. So now, whether whatever we did in the past, we followed his instructions, does it have some benefit? Did it make us advance in spiritual life? That question one will ask to oneself, right? Because the faith is lost, or you know, you might have a setback. So, and that is the reason, you know, that Guru Tattva comes into picture now. So the Guru Tattva is recording each and every activity. If the instruction that the Guru has given you in the past, if that is according to Prabhupada's mood, according to his teachings, then whatever instruction you have followed of the Guru, even though he might have gone away from Krishna consciousness after some time, but if you have followed sincerely, you know, then definitely Guru Tattva is there, you know, that Tattva has recorded everything and you will make spiritual advancement. Okay, so this is why the Guru Tattva has to be there, because sometimes the Guru might deviate, as we know that, you know, the pastime of Shukracharya and Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj had to reject Shukracharya, you know, earlier he was accepting him as Guru and he was following him. But then when there was a conflict between whether he has to choose Vishnu or follow the Guru's instruction, because the Guru contradicted Vishnu's instruction, so Balimala rejected Shukracharya. Correct? So, till the time the Guru is in proper standing, he is following the predecessor Acharyas, following Prabhupada and the Parampara, sincerely, thoroughly, till that time we can definitely follow the instruction of Guru, and we are following the Guru, we are also following Guru Tattva, we are also following Krishna. See, that is the reason I am emphasizing you to read Prabhupada's books, to understand it thoroughly, is because tomorrow, you know, if that connection is lost through some means, through some way, if that connection is lost, you can find the answers for each and everything in Prabhupada's books. And you will also understand and know that we are also, whoever is teaching you, they are also representing Krishna only, Prabhupada only. Okay, so in those circumstances, if you know what Prabhupada, how he dealt with a certain situation, if a devotee asks a question about certain things, certain topics, and the answers that Prabhupada gave to the devotee, if you know all that, then you can immediately understand that this is what I'm supposed to do at this situation, this is how Prabhupada actually dealt with it, and then obviously we can also take guidance of other devotees who are representing Prabhupada. So that way we can always be connected to Prabhupada at all times. See, that is the reason, although technically we might not be the Diksha disciples of Prabhupada, but by connecting to his Siksha, we become his Siksha disciples. Okay? So Prabhupada is the preeminent Siksha Guru of ISKCON, which means that he is the first and foremost Guru of each and every devotee in ISKCON. In fact, also, you know, when I say that first and foremost, it also means that he is also greater than the Diksha Guru. Okay, because the Diksha Guru is also following Prabhupada and he is also a disciple of Prabhupada. So his position, Prabhupada's position, is actually the foremost.
But Prabhuji, when you use this term that ISKCON, actually ISKCON was only established to as a formality to give an organization status in the West to take the message of Harinam. But actually, do we consider ourselves as ISKCON or as Gaudiya?
No, definitely. See, if you say Gaudiya can have different meanings. Okay, and people will misunderstand. You know, especially see. So we are basically ISKCON devotees, specifically ISKCON. Why? Because
it has become like
the branch of Gaudiya is ISKCON, and ISKCON is a very special branch, because it is Prabhupada's body. Prabhupada said ISKCON is my body. Book distribution, BBD, is my heart. Okay. And the fund collection is my blood. Okay. So, Prabhupada said that ISKCON is my body, which means that it is actually managed, governed by the standards and teachings set by Srila Prabhupada. So, he is the final authority for ISKCON. See, when you talk about Gaudiya, there will be multiple authorities in Gaudiya Mats or in Gaudiya Sampradaya. So which Gaudiya are you talking about? Because there are many branches.
You're talking about Gaudiya which is coming under Srila Prabhupada.
No, see, Gaudiya is not under Srila Prabhupada. That is what I'm saying. Gaudiya, when you talk about Gaudiya means it can refer to Gaudiya Mat, it can refer to Chaitanya Mat, it can refer to Saraswat Mat. Many, many Mats are there, many, and then all these Mats, and they have their local acharyas. So ISKCON is unique in the sense that ISKCON is very specifically and thoroughly defined by Srila Prabhupada. What are the goals of ISKCON? What is the purpose of ISKCON? These are all set by Srila Prabhupada. And Srila, for us, Prabhupada is the final authority on everything. So when there is a conflict, disagreement between other Gaudiya Vaishnava organizations and ISKCON, we should follow, or Srila Prabhupada, we have to follow Prabhupada. And that is ISKCON. So ISKCON is Prabhupada's body, it is Prabhupada's vision.
Okay.
Which is not same for other Gaudiya devotees also.
But isn't it a general rule, Prabhuji, that whenever there is any conflict, then we will follow under the Acharya under who we fall, right?
Yeah, so that is ISKCON, you know, because ISKCON is not different from Prabhupada.
Okay,
see,
so we started our Bhagavad Gita class, I'm talking of Vedanta Giridhari, Bhagavad Gita class, then it was told that we are Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. We are a part of
the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. See, that is definitely our Sampradaya. See, it's a trace, it's a track of our Sampradaya. If you want to tell someone what is our Sampradaya, so everyone knows ISKCON. But see, this ISKCON is a branch of that Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. See, now tell me one thing. Madhva Sampradaya is there. Why they have to call it Gaudiya Sampradaya?
Because Gaudiya may be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took two principles.
Exactly. Exactly. So, what is the meaning of that? Which means, although we are connected to Madhva Sampradaya through Madhavendra Puri, but we are a distinguished Sampradaya because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are following, specifically the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so, now, what about other Madhva followers? They are not, if they are not following Mahaprabhu, then they are in some different Sampradaya. So, that's the reason Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, that's specifically Gaudiya, what is added.
So now, okay. should we say we are Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, ISKCON? That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is the right thing. So, see, this lineage, so ISKCON is a branch of Gaudiya Sampradaya. You can say like that. So, it's one of the branch. Okay, and we belong to this branch. And then there are obviously now Gaudiya Sampradaya, it has many, many other branches. Like Gaudiya Math, Chaitanya Math, Chaitanya Saraswat Math, and all these other maths are there. So these are all under Gaudiya Sampradaya. Okay. But they have difference of teachings. Okay. That's the reason we specifically belong to ISKCON. So, or you can say that when you talk about ISKCON, it is like non-different from talking about Prabhupada. So we are specifically followers of Srila Prabhupada. Okay, anyways, yeah. So this is the principle. If you understand this, you know, then things will become very clear. That so every see finally the Guru Tattva, Guru and Krishna, they are all there to help us, provided we follow the instructions which is coming in the disciplic section. Okay. Then they are all eager to help us. So accordingly, you know, we make advancement in spiritual life. So that is one, this is the first question. Second question is, so someone asked that if a devotee is taking, let's say they have taken initiation already from someone, but if they have taken initiation, let's say if they have taken initiation from a different guru, then the question is that would they get the same instructions from, you know, if they have taken initiation from that other guru. So did you understand the question? See, my question is, let's say I have taken from Radhanath Maharaj. So let's say he gives me some instruction. But let's assume that, you know, this is just an assumption. Obviously, this is not reality. But assuming that if I have taken from someone else, let's say XYZ Sannyasi from ISKCON. So now the instruction that Radhanath Maharaj gave me, will that other XYZ guru also give me the same instruction? It's a very it's a very interesting question. Because see, generally what we say that you have to follow instructions of the guru, right? But and then we say that, you know, guru is representing Prabhupada. So then does it mean that, you know, we get same instruction from everyone? You know,
no, it can be different. As we see practically, it is already being different from guru.
Okay, why it can be different?
That is now up to the Maharaj. I mean, as they see it beneficial to the congregation for their advancement in Krishna consciousness, they give the instruction and then Krishna will make that happen because finally Maharaj is a pure devotee. So Krishna makes things happen positively only. The word of the Maharaj will not go unfulfilled, I think. Krishna makes things happen for the pure devotees. So though the instruction is different, the intent is to make the sadhak improve in Krishna consciousness. That is obviously always the
So that's a good point. That correct. So the instructions can differ. Because why? For a simple reason that every jiva is an individual, and you know every guru, because they are individuals, they will have a, you know, they treat their disciples differently. They will not treat the disciples in the same way. Okay, so the way Jayaprakash Maharaj will treat me will be probably a bit different from the way how Maharaj will deal, or probably it will be different from how Gopal Krishna Maharaj, or you know, whichever sannyasis, because they are all individuals. But the common unifying principle is that everyone's goal is to make us advance in spiritual life, or so we can advance. So give instruction, relevant instructions, so we can advance in spiritual life. That is the common thing. Now it has also happened that many times, you know, which I have also personally experienced this, and you know, some other devotees also, that when you become attached to another devotee, then when you hear both the devotees, let's say you take initiation from some guru, and then you also get inspiration from some siksha guru. Okay, so it also happened many times that whatever you hear from the siksha guru, later on you also hear the same thing from the diksha guru. And you know, so it is vice versa. Whatever you hear from diksha guru, you also hear from siksha guru. That also can happen, because this is also another way of Krishna to reciprocate with us, to clear our confusion, to dispel our doubts. Okay, so there are certain points of principle which remain the same, which all guru will agree and they will accept. Yeah, 16 rounds should be chanted. 4 aggregate principles should be followed. Then sankirtan should be done. You know, like these are all general basic instructions. And then generally this guru will engage the disciple according to their talents, you know, according to their natural abilities. They will engage the disciple in that particular area. So that will also be common for most of the gurus. Okay, but certain, the way they will talk to you, the way they will deal with you, that might be a detail that might be different for different gurus, right? So and in that, you know, while dealing in that way, it is also possible some guru might instruct in a different way or instruct something different. But finally, the purpose should be to clear your doubts, to dispel your doubts. There should be no confusion in your heart, and to make your advance in spiritual life. That should be the goal of, that is the common goal for each and every guru. Okay, so, see, that is the reason we have this individuality. And see, in the last class, that is the reason, you know, when we are discussing all this violence to the cows, you know, whether that meat can be offered or not. So I said very clearly that finally this is an individual thing, you know, and these are details. It's not a principle. Now, actually, when Prabhupada was present, he was also getting cow's milk from throughout the world. But he was not discriminating that this cow is only Indian breed, so I should only get from this cow. No, the universal principle is the same, which is in the Shastra, that cows are mother, you know, we should respect, we should get milk from them, we should offer to Krishna. That's a universal principle. Which breed, what breed, these are all different things. You know, these are all details. But the principle is, you know, like you know, the principle, simple principle is that chanting you have to do. That is common for everyone. But how you do chanting, in which way, that depends on you. Whichever is your best way to chant the holy name with maximum intention. So similarly, individuality means that, you know, devotees will have disagreements, but the common purpose is same. I mean, you know, and then they should not become fanatic about certain things. Okay, that my way is the only way. Then you become like a Christian. That, yeah, only this is how it should be done. No, there are, see, that's the reason variety has been created. Krishna has given variety to each and every devotee, so that he can taste that variety, he can enjoy that variety. Right? different devotees might have different opinions about certain things on a certain, but obviously it's connected to details. So it should be seen in that way. Okay? So it should be reconciled with the common purpose. So this is called unity and diversity. Okay? Yeah, so these are the two questions, you know, quite important ones. And I also wanted to address a couple of things that I heard from Prabhupada's memories. So Prabhupada once said that if one do, you know, if you do devotees chant 16 rounds every day daily, then they will, it's guaranteed that they will become deathless. So Prabhupada said like that. Then one time, during Prabhupada's, I think it was Vyas Puja celebration, so some devotees went to Prabhupada and they wanted to offer him some nice, wonderful gift. So they went to Prabhupada and told him that, Prabhupada, you know, this is a check of $108,000 for you. And Prabhupada said, thank you very much, but I would have liked if you had given me $109,000 also. It would have been more nice if you had given me a check of $109,000 also. So now what is Prabhupada trying to teach here? So Krishna consciousness is beyond all these auspicious numbers and all that. Okay. So it's not like, you know, for example, devotees have the habit of donating 51 rupees, 1008 rupees, you know, like that 1 rupee is extra, they will always keep 21 rupees, 11 rupees, you know, but, you know, obviously it's a kind of, I don't know, probably this might be in Shastra, but even if you donate 25 rupees, which is more than 21 rupees, I think that would be more pleasing to the Lord. Okay, so it is not about just auspicious numbers. Krishna consciousness is beyond that. So Prabhupada was teaching that it's not necessary that you have to focus on 108 only. You can do it more also. Like, you know, the first time that we distributed the Bhagavatam search, my goal was, 50. First it was 50. Then as it was increasing, I thought, let's try to make an offering of 108. But then, when it came to 108, I said, let me try more. I was not stuck to the point that, okay, now 108 is such a wonderful number I have achieved. So, you know, I am okay with that. So I said, okay, let's go beyond. You know, if you have time, if you have that resources, then go beyond that. So finally, we ended up being 137. Now, 137, if you take any Shastra, I don't think you will find that 137 number. Right? So, you know, Krishna consciousness, the idea is that you have to do the maximum. You have to try your best to achieve what you can. You can have a nice number, you know, as a goal, but if you can go beyond that, that is most wonderful. Okay, so so this is about one of the memories. Then Prabhupada one time said that in a class, Prabhupada was giving class, and then some devotee asked question to Prabhupada that, you know, who all living entities, which are living entities, they do not incur sin. So Prabhupada started saying that the children, they do not incur sin. Then he also said that the old men do not incur sin. He also said the women also do not incur sin. And then finally he said that all the saintly person also did not incur any sin. And then he finally, you know, he said in the class that because you are all saintly person, so you all are bereft of sin. And then everyone started saying, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. So this was a, you know, nice concession, you know, which is given to the devotees and to other living entities. So I knew about children, but I had no idea about women and old men. Because, so if you see overall what Prabhupada is saying, is that innocent people are not punished, generally. Or those who need protection, they are not punished. You know, or those who are in charge of the Supreme Lord. So these are all innocent people, or they are the ones who need protection, shelter. So they are the ones who are not punished. Right. So any question or comment about this?
I hope others also feel something. Sorry?
Nobody else. Morning, Prabhuji.
Sorry?
I just noticed nobody else is responding. I hope I think others also say something.
Yeah. Yeah, then, you know, there was one particular pastime of Prabhupada where a disciple, he was waiting out, outside the bathroom. Prabhupada had just gone to the bathroom and then he just came out and, you know, the disciple went inside the bathroom. And, you know, he was completely taken aback because he thought, you know, like he was thinking, I mean, okay, now what experience can you get, you know, if you go to a restroom. Generally, like, you know, if an ordinary person goes, generally it will stink, you know. But you know, the disciple went inside. And the first thing that is noticed is that there was a overwhelming, beautiful fragrance which was emanating. Okay, because Prabhupada had used the toilet. And second thing, you know, he thought that these are all lotus flowers. He could actually perceive like that. And you know, he also quoted, like, he was remembering the pastime of Rishabhdev, where, you know, Rishabhdev is actually so austere and so detached from the material world that he's lying in his own stool and urine. And he's rolling on that. And, you know, and the Bhagavatam describes that because, you know, the stool and urine of a pure devotee or the Lord is not different from the Lord. So it is like a lotus flower only. And it is... It you know, it is very aromatic in fragrance. So the same thing, you know, this disciple experienced in Prabhupada's on this thing. So that was very interesting. So, you know, we'll have one class about Prabhupada Leela. That time, you know, we'll hear many, many interesting pastimes of Prabhupada.
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
Yeah, so this class, you know, we'll be having at Andi Matari's house. Tentatively, like, we are fixed on 21st September Sunday. So, like, hopefully. Okay, now, I don't know if Anjum Mataji has joined or not till now because the message has not come. Okay, so anyone has any question till now? Vandana Mataji, Angel Mataji.
Prabhuji, actually my daughter was asking one question about Sita ji, like, you know, so I was not able to answer her very convincingly, like, you know. Like in her class, it seems was discussed that when Sita Maya was taken by Ravan, it was not the real Sita, but the a different Sita was taken and fire had taken her.
Yeah.
So when she does that Agni Pariksha, the real Sita comes out and the shadow Sita goes away. So now she's asking me this question, ki, then when Ram Bhagwan, he knew ki my Sita was not taken and that was by Ravana and this is now the real Sita who's come up from fire. So still, why did he leave Sita Maya when that Dhobi said, you know, he stayed there at a different place, like, you know.
So, these are all pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Technically speaking, the Lord is never separated from his consorts because the consort is the internal potency of the Lord. So, they are never separated, even though in the past time they are showing that they are separated for some time. But so similarly happened with Radha and Krishna also. And, you know, there was obviously one past time in the previous, this thing, Yuga, that one particular sage had cursed Lord Vishnu because he had killed with his Sudarshan Chakra, his wife.
Yeah.
Okay, so he had to bear the separation. And he got so angry that he called Vishnu that because you killed my wife through unfair means, so in the same way, you'll have to also bear the separation from your consort. So now, that's the reason Lord Ramchandra had to undergo that separation from Sita Maya.
which is a human pastime. You know, please understand that this is a Yogmaya arrangement. It is not a pastime where they were separated. You know, in fact, it was not true actually. They are always together. And so similarly, the same thing happened with Radha and Krishna also. So Krishna left Braj and it seems that they were separated. So they were separated, yeah. From the Leela point of view, they were separated. But they again united after 100 years because the curse was valid for 100 years. Okay. So, externally, see, the Lord is obviously very smart, you know, and he serves multiple substances in one go. So now if you see, Krishna was also cursed by Gandhari's thing. So can you say that the Gandhari's curse, because of her curse, the entire Yadu dynasty was destroyed? Obviously, no way. No way. That is not possible.
Right.
See, who Krishna is the giver of benedictions. And Krishna is the controller of, you know, all these curses and everything. He is the final giver of these curses. Okay. So, now, even though Gandhari has cursed the Lord, but it is the Lord who is accepting and sanctioning that curse. Then only the effect can come. Okay. And now, as we know from the Bhagavatam, these Yadus, they were eternal associates of the Lord. They are coming from spiritual world. So, these curses are in the mortal world. And they can only affect those who are in the mortal realm. They cannot affect someone who are coming from the spiritual world because they are transcendental to the material laws of nature. So that it's not possible that the Adi dynasty was destroyed by Gandhari's curse. It was Krishna's illusion created, which I have explained earlier. Okay, so Krishna created illusion. He just wanted to create a drama. See, the Lord's activities are full of dramas only, nothing else.
Right.
He's the director and he's orchestrating various dramas just to attract the conditioned soul and to exchange pastime with his pure devotees. Okay, so the original Sita Maya, obviously, Ravana could not even touch her. There is not a trace of this thing possible that Ravana could even touch Sita Maya. Mm-hmm. What to speak of kidnapping her? He cannot even come close to Sita Maya. Right? So, definitely, externally, and the Lord wanted to prove it that externally also Ravana cannot do it. See, we talk about Sita Maya being internal potency. But even from external point of view also, Ravana had no qualifications to come in front of Sita Devi. Okay. So, so this pastime happened so that the Lord can have the Leelas with the devotees. And he can give chance to the devotees to serve the Lord in his pastimes. And at the same time, he also fulfills the curse of his own devotees. Because Gandhari, you know, he was a Shiv Bhaktini. And Krishna was, you know, he respected that thing. Now, generally, when the Lord will come in the material world, he respects and he will fulfill the partialities of his devotees or yogis or, you know, if they are doing some tap, then the Lord will actually respect that. Even Hanumanji also. You know, when, what's his name, Akshay Kumar, not Akshay Kumar from our Bollywood, this thing, but I think the Akshay Kumar or his brother, what's his name, when Hanuman was caught, he was, so I probably it was Akshay Kumar or his brother, his name I don't recollect, but, you know, when he was caught, so that time he had thrown a Brahmastra on Hanumanji. But Brahmastra, because he had got the benedictions from Shiva and Brahma and all other demigods, he was not affected by Brahmastra. But in order to respect Brahmadev's weapon, he voluntarily accepted defeat and he was tied up in that astra. So this is how the Lord will also respect the whoever has got some kind of benediction. At the same time, we also know Hiranyakashipu also got that benediction. Right? If the Lord wanted, he could have broken all these promises. Whatever benedictions he had received from Brahma, the Lord would have broken all these things. Because he is beyond all these things. But he respected Brahma's benedictions. And so the Lord also wanted to demonstrate that you think that you are most intelligent, you are a fool. Because when I use my intelligence, no living entity in the entire universe, they can surpass it. So he came in a form which was the supreme intelligence of the Lord. And you know, even though the material benediction was like being immortal, but the Lord made it mortal. Now his intelligence was that, you know, he appeared in a form that could serve, so that could break all these things very epic in a very formal way, you know, in a very respectful way, rather than, you know, immorally or illegally breaking these things. So the Lord respects these things, you know, whoever has got curse, benedictions, etc., he will keep that promises, because that's how he has designed the material nature, that whoever will approach the demigod, they will get benedictions from them. And obviously, if the Lord does not do that, then what is the purpose of people approaching the demigods and the demigods giving blessings to them? That will fail. So the Lord will also establish lower dharmas when he comes down, and he does this as a pastime to attract and also to give chance to the living entities so that they can serve in the Lord's pastime. Okay, so yeah, so it is all drama. There are, see, it's not just question of Sita Maya or, you know, any other concert of the Lord, but even amongst devotees also, you know, you will see that how Pandava suffered like anything. Now they had no karma, but they suffered also. And then the, you know, the affection of the Vrajasi is also, you know, that's also drama only. Everything is a drama by the Lord. Everything is Leela. So it becomes more exciting. So, you know, let's say, for example, if Lord Ram had given, you know, like, you know, Ramana kidnapped Sita, and Lord Ram challenged him and warned him that you return back, otherwise you will be destroyed. And then what if Ravana would have come to his senses, and then he would have gone to Lord Ramchandra, and he would have apologized, and he would have begged for forgiveness, and he would have handed over Sita to him? Then what would be the fun? So there should be some excitement, no, in the drama. Otherwise the story will end. Then you will say it is not worth to enter into the Lord's pastimes. It is so boring. So some masala has to be there, no?
But Prabhupada, you want to understand that before Ramji actually took up with Ravan, he had sent Lakshmanji to again, like, you know, last, giving him a last chance. Do you want to surrender?
That was also a drama only, because he knew. See, just as Krishna went to the assembly of the Kauravas to tell, you know, to convince Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan. But did they hear? Because Krishna knew that it is going to be a waste of time. But still, as a duty, he went as a messenger. And he came empty-handed. There was no success. So here was the same thing. You know, Lord is just doing drama only here. He is just doing his duty. He will, whatever he has to do, he will just. And whatever devotee, see, now one can also say that agar Ram Bhagwan ne usko chunauti di, and, you know, finally he would have surrendered. Lakshman ke liye sakh seva hi nahi thi fir. Hanuman ji ke liye kuch seva hi nahi bachta tha. You know, fir agar aap dekhenge, to Mahabharat ke time pe bhi, Bhishma Pitama would have been without any service. Bhishma Pitama was enjoying when he was shooting arrows at Krishna. That was his service. And the Lord was also enjoying. He was associating with Bhishma Pitama.
Right.
So the blood was also oozing from the hands of Krishna. Bhishma Pitama was shooting arrows. But the Lord was actually loving that. And Prabhupada writes in that purport that this is actually, so, you know, Bhishma Pitama is actually offering garlands to the Lord. But this garland is the form of arrows. And the Lord's blood is making it more beautiful, more attractive. Right? So all these pastimes are, see, these are all transcendental pastimes. That is the reason we have to understand the tattva behind these leelas. Right? And so, see, if someone has questions about Sita Maya, what to speak of the gopis of Raj? So many questions will come up about their character, Krishna's character, morality and all that. Right? But then, if you know the underlying tattva behind these leelas, the transcendental nature and activities of the Lord, then it is very easy to understand these things. Right? So from a Leela point of view, the Lord is completely enacting dramas. And from Tattva point of view, he is not affected by anything. He is a Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, like, is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So any other question?
Yes,
Okay. See, now one question, which very important question, which we have been facing since a long time, especially in Mumbai. So this question is, you know, about the devotees who are connected to certain temple, to certain authorities in the beginning, but after some time, they are unable to get out of it, or when they are, in other words, you know, the authorities are not allowing them to take association of other devotees or from other source of inspirations, and not allow them to keep programs also. So this question has been, you know, going on in the hearts of many devotees. I've been hearing that many times. So, you know, I wanted to obviously share my understanding on this and what devotees can do about this. And, you know, obviously this kind of thing is definitely not right. It is like suppressing someone's free will and suppressing one's inherent natural inspiration. Now, see, when you suppress someone, you know, then what will happen? You think that they are under your control, okay? But over a period of time, if you don't develop that natural inspiration under them, they will rebel more. Okay, and what will happen because of that? The consequence will be that your relationship will get spoiled. Okay, and another thing is that for the authorities also, it is very important to understand that as a preacher, we are representing our Guru Parampara, and our intention is to inspire the devotees. That is the ultimate aim of inspiring any devotees. Okay, so we are saying that, okay, you know, we are there to help you, we are there to teach you, but behind that teaching and helping, if there's an ulterior motive, that I will get name and fame, you know, because I have projects and I have so much responsibilities for, I have taken Prabhupada's mission and I have some targets to achieve. And because of that, you are expecting that the devotees under you will forever be with you without getting that natural inspiration. Then that is a cheating process. So the authorities who are doing these things, it's not good for them. The end result will be that you will lose all the devotees. If the authorities are encouraging and they are allowing devotees to make their own choices by, you know, by inspiration, they are the ones who will be there forever. But if you try to suppress someone's inspiration, a point will come, you will no longer have that relationship. Or you will be doing, so it is like, you know, you want to, you know, you see, we get frustrated in the material world because we see that people are like this, you know, and we have so many bad experiences. So we come to the spiritual side, and then when we come to the spiritual side, someone is trying to suppress there also. What is the difference between material and spiritual world? Krishna never forces anyone. Krishna has given free will to each and every devotee. If you are, you know, if a devotee is inspired by some other devotee apart from the authority, and if they want to cultivate that relationship, and only for that purpose or reason, if the authority feels offended or if he's feeling that they should stop it, then actually it is the fault of the authority. What is the meaning of multicultural siksha sampradaya? ISKCON is a multicultural siksha sampradaya. And that means that every devotee, they have the right to get connected to Krishna naturally. So,
what is the term, Prabhuji, you say? ISKCON is a
multi siksha sampradaya. So, siksha sampradaya. So, siksha sampradaya means, siksha sampradaya, what is the meaning of siksha? Siksha means you can have multiple devotees in your life who can help you in different areas. It's not just one. See, one, you cannot get everything in one person. He's not God. The authority is not God. does he take the responsibility that he will train you in each and every area? He cannot. So how can he discourage someone to not to attend certain classes or not to get connected to? And see, I'm not even speaking about outside ISKCON. This is happening within ISKCON. Everyone knows in ISKCON, the GBC knows, the GBC has already, you know, this is what Prabhupada's message was, you know, that we are all connected to Prabhupada. That's the GBC message, that the final managing authority is the GBC. And GBC is saying that Prabhupada is the preeminent Siksha Guru of everyone. And whoever is representing Prabhupada, we can take Siksha from the devotees. So now, when we pursue Krishna consciousness, spiritual path, naturally we come across certain devotees who will inspire us. You know, it's a natural something, you know, depending on our requirement, need, Krishna will send those devotees in our lives. And then if some authorities will discourage that, you see, if they are representing Prabhupada properly, then the authorities should encourage that. They cannot discourage that. If that means they have some motivation. They are attached to certain things. And you know, they are creating a wrong impression, you know, because we are supposed to be the servants of the devotees, and here you are sending a message that you are, you know, you everyone is supposed to be under you. To, you know, although some devotees are connected to you in the beginning, let's say, you know, some devotees get connected to you, you are the Vartama Pradaksha Guru of someone, but does it mean that the devotee, you know, when they want to see, when you cultivate a devotee or a non-devotee, you actually understand the mentality of these people, okay? And so certain times it can happen that certain devotees, they have a different mentality, they have a different liking, and you cannot be compatible with them. So it is our duty that we encourage them and we correct them to some other devotee whom they are compatible and most, you know, most naturally inspired from. It is the duty of the authority. It's the duty of the Vartama Pradaksha Guru or any particular devotee in ISKCON. But if you say right from the beginning, you are saying that since you have been connected to this temple, to this authority, you have to serve under this only. What about inspiration? See, if you develop that inspiration, that's a different thing. Then yeah, it's your own choice. But if you are feeling, you have that guilt in your heart that where I'm connected, and forcefully you are, you know, you want to do certain things, you have to do certain things. That is like you are in a prison house. You are in the material world in a prison house, and now again you have come here, you know, to get free from that prison house, but you are still stuck in the prison house. So this kind of mentality, it definitely has some ulterior motive. It is very So I don't have anything to say about this, you know, because it sounds to me very, very fanatic. It's very, you know, it has some ulterior motive, obviously. When Krishna himself is giving free will, who are we to, you know, do such things? See, I will tell you one thing. If a preacher is afraid that if someone is better than that, you know, preacher, and then, you know, they will take away his students, that means that the preacher has a lot of insecurity. It means that his Krishna consciousness is not deep. He is afraid and he is attached to his, you know, to making students and to be a teacher or a guru, which is the wrong concept. Krishna consciousness never teaches us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never teaches us like that. Why you have to be afraid? Why you have to see? You have some project. You inspire people by your own example. Naturally, people will follow you. Naturally, people will come up to you and help you. But if you write straight in the beginning, if you put gun towards them and say that from this point you belong to me, then people, you know, just for some reasons, because of practical reasons or because of some other purpose, they will be fearful and they will be connected. But it will not be a loving relationship. It will be more of a diplomatic relationship. Because there are devotees who get connected to higher authorities in temples just because they think that because of higher authorities, we can get a lot of benefits. Like we can get free Janmashtami passes, you know, we can get special darshans, we can get special arrangements, special favor we can get. So they will not have a siksha relationship. They just have this relationship continued because the authority is in a higher position, in an authority position. And similarly, the authority position, what they will do, you know, because you are gaining favor from me, so I want favor from you also. So help me. There is no siksha relationship. So we get stuck. See, so we have to come out of this. And obviously, you know, there is no question of stealing devotees. See, we are devotees. We are not thieves. We are not, you know, if a preacher is sincere preacher or a devotee is sincerely trying to preach, there is this concept of stealing other devotees from others' group is out of fashion. You see, they devotees command respect. They command, you know, certain things. It is not, they cannot demand. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is very clear. We have to be servant of servant. So, so it is very shocking to know that, you know, certain things are happening like this. And so I am definitely against it. And I completely disagree with these kind of things. And I would like to keep distance from these kind of devotees, you know, because they will just create, see, ISKCON, we have to lead ISKCON in a certain direction. And it can be led in a certain direction only when the devotees strive to become pure in themselves. See, it is not about how much targets you are achieving in ISKCON. Like, you know, in Das Puja, Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning the entire class was, one-hour class was on surrender. Surrender to Krishna. And then he was also making a point. It's not about collecting lakhs of millions of funds. It is not about distributing lakhs of millions of books. It is not about building big temples. It is, you know, devotional service very simple for simple-hearted people and complex for complicated. So, and then Prabhupada also said that the threat to ISKCON will not come from outside. It will come from within the ISKCON. So, if this is the attitude of the devotees, that they are disallowing, you know, and they are discouraging devotees to cultivate their inspiration, then, I think on a very short-term basis, if this is the, you know, if all these authorities, they have this mentality, then within a short period of time, ISKCON will be gone. Because so many devotees have come to me and they have told me that so much politics is there. And obviously, this is a kind of politics only. What is your purpose? Why are you doing this? It's a simple principle. Wherever you are most attached to, most inspired, get committed to it, get connected to it, and serve with your heart and soul. So in the beginning, you have to give that, you have to allow everyone to explore their, you know, choices. Once, you know, after a span of 5 years, 6 years, when they become matured, they will automatically will understand where they are, you know, where they want to connect. And once they are connected, then they have to commit for it, they have to follow that. Because obviously, and they will do it lovingly, because it's a natural inspiration. So, unfortunately, these things are going on, but Prabhupada never thought of, you know, these kind of things. But Prabhupada said many, many things. He was not just talking about projects, how to accomplish, you know, projects and mission and all that. Prabhupada also said, develop love for Krishna. If you want to please me, or, you know, devotees, they ask Prabhupada, what is the best thing that will please you? They were expecting different answers from Prabhupada. Some was thinking that Prabhupada will say book distribution. Some was thinking Harinam Sankirtan. Different ways. Prabhupada said, you just love Krishna. And part of loving Krishna is basically to realize that we have to become gentlemen also, to a certain degree. I mean, that is what we strive for. We want to become, even like, you know, we strive to become pure devotees. Although it's a very difficult process, we accept it. But, you know, but if we have intelligence, we have knowledge, we can understand what is not right, what is right. And even though I might be attached to certain, you know, conditionings of my previous lifetimes, but because if I have knowledge, I should preach to myself and should say that, okay, no, this is not right. I should not do like this. So that atmosphere of devotees praising each other will never come, you know, if such kind of situation will be there. Everyone wants their, you know, ultimately everyone wants to prove that we are the best, you know. Obviously, this competitive spirit is there, but, you know, in the spiritual world, the competition is to make sure that other group will win, not that we will win. So we cannot imitate that competition, you know, if we are not really very advanced. So we want to do the maximum. We want to be, you know, like, see, that Prabhupada is also seeing all these things. What are you trying to achieve? You cannot put projects over people. You have to put people over projects. Projects will follow automatically. If you have the ability, if you are empowered, Krishna will preach through you. Krishna will send people to you. You don't have to worry about getting, you know, you don't have to worry, what about my students, if they will go here, if they will go there. Krishna will make that arrangement. You know, a guru or a preacher, they are supposed to be detached. They are supposed to be dependent on Krishna. We see, it's a fact that guru or a teacher, they are not supposed to be dependent on the disciples. If the disciples are reciprocating with the guru by giving them, you know, service and all that, it does not mean that the disciples have purchased the guru. Okay, the disciples, it is their fortune that they are doing some seva for their disciples. Okay. But the guru is not supposed to think that, okay, the disciples are doing it for me and, you know, I am the controller. The guru has to be completely pure in his dealings. He is a vile medium, so he knows that he is doing it. These devotees are giving me respect because they are seeing that I am trying to represent Krishna. So it is the respect to the Lord, it is not the respect to us. So just as, you know, there are qualifications for the disciples, qualification for the guru is also there. Unless one is sufficiently detached from these things, one should not take that leadership and guru role. So, you know, these things are very important. You know, then only actually that atmosphere of mutual appreciation and encouragement will develop in ISKCON. Otherwise, everyone will think about their own project, and because of that, they will hamper the progress of the devotees. That is not the way. If we take care of devotees, naturally they will be inspired to follow us. So someone who thinks that, you know, they will try to obstruct something, they are insecure people. They are more attached to getting name and fame rather than trying to become pure devotees. I mean, does it make sense to everyone?
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir. Why should there be any forcible...
Exactly.
There should not be.
See, devotees are like our family members. Why? How can we think of forcing them? You don't force your son also. How can you force anyone? And how can you obstruct someone from cultivating their inspiration? The entire process is about inspiration. Then Radhanath Maharaj spent his entire life, then he, after analysis, his heart and mind convinced Then he selected Prabhupada. And Prabhupada never told him that you just come to me. Like, you know, many other different gurus and people, they were telling Maharaj directly that why don't you become my disciple? You know, like, you are a very nice, faithful, you'll be very loyal. And, you know, why don't you join us? Maharaj did not join them. Prabhupada never asked him, why don't you join us? Prabhupada, so this is an acharya. By example, he shows. According to the circumstance, he knows how to, you know, he exactly knows. So Prabhupada obviously is a different personality altogether. There is nothing to say about it. But this is a preacher, this is an acharya, but completely detached. He is attached to Krishna. Whether someone will come to him or not, definitely he will try his best. But if Krishna will not send someone, it is okay. Go on, continue. Prabhupada has tolerated for 40 years. No one listened to him. For 40 years, can you imagine? Their enthusiasm, you will leave spiritual life. If you try for 40 years and don't get any success, you will leave spiritual life. Prabhupada struggled for 40 years. After such a long time, he started getting so much reputation from the Lord. And he was completely detached. So, see, then some disciple was somehow kind of brainwashed to join some Gaudiya Math, and he was pulled from Prabhupada's movement. That time Prabhupada got a bit annoyed. And because obviously, the disciples were not matured enough to understand what is a relationship of guru and disciple. So that time Prabhupada obviously set an example by teaching them that, criticizing the Godhead also, that they are not supposed to do this. Okay, but here we are not talking even about outside ISKCON, we are talking within ISKCON. When you are getting attracted to some devotees, you are naturally inspired by devotees. And obviously those who are representing Prabhupada nicely, you can follow them. There are obviously some devotees who might not represent Prabhupada properly, who are also in the movement. So definitely, we caution them that we be careful and keep distance and avoid association of such devotees, because they don't have complete faith in Prabhupada. ISKCON is a wonderful platform. If you want to become famous, it's a wonderful platform, because only ISKCON is the one who is reaching out to the world. Other Gaudiya Mathas, they are all frozen. They are not doing anything for preaching. ISKCON, the dynamic preaching that ISKCON is doing, no one else is doing that. So obviously, if you want to gain name and fame, come to ISKCON and then make a show that, we are following Prabhupada. But internally, all these things, other things will go on. So there are certain devotees who do not represent Prabhupada properly. So we understand with time. So we just keep distance from them. So definitely, such people can be avoided. We can, that is the right of a guru. The guru can definitely ask the disciples to keep distance from certain devotees. But whoever is sincerely representing Prabhupada, they are properly connected, why one has to obstruct? So they don't realize that by doing this, they are creating more problems for them. In fact, if they would have inspired and encouraged them, they would have got more followers, because they will have got a lot of appreciation from their students.
That's more inspiring. That kind of an attitude is more inspiring. And it generates
exactly
love from
the students. So they will get, even though it might seem that in the beginning, see, when a preacher will tolerate things, and when he's truthful, when he's following truthfully, although it might apparently seem that initially people are going away, but Krishna will resurrect with time. Those same people will come back and they will appreciate that teacher after some time. They will realize their mistake and they will also appreciate. So, obviously, we have to be tolerant. Preachers should be tolerant. That is very difficult. But if we are tolerant, then Krishna will also reward us, because they will also realize and understand the importance of such devotees. So there are devotees in the movement, in our movement, who are not in the forefront. They are doing services, preaching and all that in the background, but they are inspiring devotees through their behavior. So such devotees are very, very important also. So it is not just about who is famous, popular, you know, who is authority. It's not that, you know, they are very advanced or such. There are devotees in the background. I know personally many of them who are in the background, doing services in the background, never in the forefront. They don't desire name and fame. Wonderful services they are doing. The commitment, dedication that they have, it is truly mind-blowing. But, and you know, they always want to inspire devotees genuinely. So, you know, they are not like technically famous preachers or like in the forefront, but from the background, they will encourage devotees, they will help them, and they will never be attached to the concept that these devotees should remain attached to me or they should follow only me, you know. So they are free from these things. So these are the real devotees. And that way only actually we can progress. See, the entire purpose of learning Shastra, to associate with devotees, is to actually advance in spiritual life. It is not just about, you know, the obviously, you know, when we advance, we also want to take more responsibility for Prabhupada, you know, because we want to take his burden, you know, that is burden of love. But while taking the burden of love, we cannot give burden on other people unnecessarily, or we cannot hamper their spiritual lives. So, you know, because of these things happening, I know that many devotees' lives are affected. They are not at peace because of this. Internally, they are thinking what to do. And you know what? I will tell you, many devotees are just stuck to this. Why? Because they are not even coming out of it, because these authorities, if they leave these authorities, they will not get recommendation for initiation. And then, as we know, you know, it takes a lot of time for these things to recover. So they are afraid. They are stuck. So, you know, so there are some devotees who will make an adjustment that, okay, you know, because I'm living close to this devotee's house, that's why it's more practical. So let me just continue. Although they might not have that deep inspiration from that devotee, but just because, you know, practical purposes they are going, you know, it's a very convenient thing, so they will just go there. They might not have that real inspiration that, yeah, this is the one from whom I would like to take siksha on a long run. So obviously, you know, because of the devotee's attitude also, the authority's attitude, everything will matter. It's not just about accomplishment of the authority. It is also about the way they are dealing with the devotees, the purpose. So then, you know, see, then what happens? This kind of relationship will not remain more than a formal relationship. And then there is no instructions and no following. Okay, because you are not inspired. So it's a formality you are doing. And your inspiration is somewhere else. So this is not a guru and disciple relationship. And technically speaking, shastrically, the guru knows the best whether you are qualified or not. It is not the authorities who can decide that. So if the authorities have this kind of insecurities and ulterior motives, then they are not like, I mean, I don't think, you know, we should come out of it soon. Otherwise, we'll get stuck. Yeah, unless you have a natural inspiration for them, it's a different thing. Otherwise, we should come out of it. See, the moment you will force someone, a person will start rebelling. No, you cannot pressure someone. So, love means free will. That's how you express your... So, if genuinely that person is inspiring you, you'll command love. Yeah, so anyways, you know, it's unfortunately this is going on in many temples. But we just have to be careful, we have to be cautious, and we have to choose our association, we have to discriminate also. That's the reason, you know, we are providing a platform where we can share these things with devotees. Devotees can share their thoughts. And then, you know, we can, you know, by the common ground of Shastra, Guru and Sadhus, we can all advance in spiritual life. So this is the impetus of enriching our enthusiasm, maintaining our enthusiasm in spiritual life. So if we are not associating regular business, then these things will actually take us away. It will drag us down. So association with nice, sincere Vaishnavas, that is actually the key to maintain the enthusiasm and to progress. It's very important. Like, you know, we can all see the difference. Once in a week when we associate, I am looking forward to associate. Probably you are all also looking forward to associate. You know, and that way we are eager to serve the Lord, to maintain that enthusiasm, to understand the philosophy. And then when we share things with each other, whatever burden is there in the heart is also relieved. You know, we feel that happiness from within also when we share with someone. So it's very, very important. You know, Rupa Goswami mentioned this in the Nectar of Instruction. Dadati Prabhi Grinati, Kriyam Akhyari Prichati. That the six things that devotee has to do. One is, anyone remembers what are the six things Rupa Goswami is recommending?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, so this is the reason we have to study Prabhupada's books very thoroughly. Because so many things they have given, it is for our benefit only. And so what about other devotees? Vandana Mataji, you know anything about the six exchanges of love?
I think Vandana Mataji put a message, she got disconnected.
Okay. Angel Mataji?
Even angel can be wicked down here.
Huh?
Angel wicked is also down.
She got disconnected?
I think she's in slumber.
Oh.
She had a long day. She had to go out during the day. And
okay.
She came back too late. So she's also pretty much exhausted. So I think she's just...
Okay. So, anyways, but, you know, it is basically to share thoughts with other devotees, to express your mind, and to also let the devotees express their mind to you. These are the two exchanges. The other two are to receive gift and to also give gift to the devotees. And the last one is to...
This is Nectar of Instruction, right?
Yeah, Nectar of Instruction.
That's the fourth verse of Nectar of Instruction.
Yeah, fourth. Yeah, I don't remember, but very, very important. And sharing, obviously, Krishna Katha and Prasadam, you know, with devotees. So, very important.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, you know, very important things to understand all these things, you know, otherwise we can misunderstand what is bhakti.
Correct.
Okay, all right. So anything, okay, you know, we can stop for the day. I wanted to also discuss some other things, but we can do it later on.
Yes.
All right. So thank you for joining. Hare Krishna, Dhanottam, to all the
Hare Krishna.